Good morning, everyone. Wow, I love this place. I was letting someone know that I was coming here, and so they were asking me, how far do I have, Brock? And so they were asking me, what is the church like? And I was trying to describe it to them, and I said, my favorite thing about coming here is the worship. You know, oftentimes we have these great big bands. At my church, they have musicians and the whole nine yards, which is great. But my gosh, there's something to be said when the hearts of God's people begin to cry out to Him. It's like all you need is just a song. All you need is something. And so when I walked in this morning, I thought, my gosh, I'm in the upper room. My goodness, we are in the upper room. Amen. I walked in and I thought, are we upstairs? And she was like, yes. And I was like, praise the Lord. I'm so excited that we have moved upstairs. We, because I believe I'm family here. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I am so excited. Thank you on behalf of Pastor Joy and Pastor Ace. Thank you so much for continuing to invite me back. You're going to bring me an extension? Yeah, because I can't keep still. I like to move around. You'd think I'd be a little smaller, but it's not working for me. So thank you so much.
Because I'm so loud. I'm just so excited. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so every day we recognize it's a new year. Amen? We don't just have to wait till January 1st, do we? We can just say that every single day because God has something new for us. So as Pastor Joy called me, I thought, oh my goodness, Lord, what would you want me to say to the people of the Core Church? My goodness, the Core Church. I love that name. And even as I was worshiping to the song, I thought, Lord, the core, that means so much in so many different ways, right? The core of Jesus, my God, out of our belly shall flow living waters. Amen? And then I thought as I was driving into Hamilton, how I passed City Hall. And I don't know if this is the core of Hamilton, but it's as far as I've ever been. So I thought, my goodness, I feel like we're in the core, in the mix of things. Amen? And then I thought, my God, how this place lines up regionally in Canada. You know, the bridge to the U.S. is just over there. So there's something to be said about the core church. And as I was sitting there and just talking to the Lord about the core, I just saw a quick picture of people lined up to get to the core. All over Hamilton, they were lined up to get to the core. Ah, so God makes no mistakes, amen? He makes no mistakes. So as I was preparing, I said to the Lord, what would you want me to talk about? And so all week, I've been focusing on fellowship. Fellowship counts. Say it with me. Say, fellowship counts. Because this is what the Lord has impressed on my heart for this season. That fellowship counts. And it's so funny because I hear so many things. Be still and know that I am God. As Pastor Joy was talking about healing and the manifestation and how we have to continue to press in, I thought, yes, Lord, this is for today. What God has laid on my heart is for today. And He's laid on my heart that fellowship counts. I'm going right to the book of Acts because, my goodness, I love this book, right? You want to talk about signs and miracles, not done through Jesus, but through who? The people of God. Can you imagine, picture it, Jesus had just died and everybody was like, what do we do? Come on, we know people, we know that there's great preachers that we've lost, have we not? Have we lost some great preachers over the last couple of years? I think of a Miles Monroe is who comes to mind. We've lost some great ones, some great ones. And can you imagine? Jesus has now ascended into heaven, and the people are there. I don't know about you, but I would be a little depressed, wouldn't you?
Won't you guys be sad? You know, have you ever had this experience where you're just a little late? You know, the people were there and Jesus was trying to prepare their hearts, and maybe some believed and maybe some didn't believe. But can you imagine the ones that were like, they got it the moment he resurrected? Can you imagine what they were thinking? Oh my God, I missed him. I missed it. I missed it. But God is so amazing, because Jesus said he was going to send who? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of God. So you weren't going to miss him. You were going to have a chance to have a new beginning, a new year, every single day. And so I can just see the people. And if it had been me, I would have been speaking up. Listen, Peter, what are we going to do now, Peter? John, who's going to lead the church? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Judas has just killed himself. What good are you people? What good are you going to do? And we know that in the beginning of Acts, Peter has a Pentecostal, the apostles have this Pentecostal experience in the upper room. And people come to the Lord. They come and give their hearts, right? This is Pentecostal, this was the day, right, that it happened. And so as I was diving into that particular place, I thought about the fellowship that counts. And so if you guys want to turn to Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, if you have your Bibles or your iPhones or whatever device that you have. But this particular portion of Scripture is called the Fellowship of the Believers. And there's a lot in these couple of verses. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day, say with me, every day. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all his people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen? There is so much in that word. And so I'm really here to talk about us being still in the presence of God. Us knowing that God wants to do something in us and through us and with us. But you know how it happens? It happens in the fellowship of the believers. In the fellowship of the believers. Listen, I don't know how many of you, how long you've been here at the Core Church or previously the Josh. I don't know how long you've been waiting for healing to happen. I don't know how long you've been waiting for loved ones to come back to Christ or find Christ. I don't know. But I do know God says, occupy until I come. And so we understand that the believers were gathered there. And there's a couple of things that the Word of God points to that I said, this is what we have to do. You see, the world is looking for an answer, okay? Picture it. The world is desiring the truth, right? We have all kinds of false truths that are happening. The world is searching for the answers. And we look for it in all kinds of places. But the reality is the answer comes from only the answer. Amen? And so we understand that much like the times in the Acts that the world was wondering, what will become of us? What will become of us Christians? We're now outnumbered. So they say, we now can't even speak our truth, his truth. We've got a muzzle. We've got to somehow calm down and don't you dare say Jesus Christ in the workplace. Don't you dare be on the bus and praise God. Don't you dare do that. But God says in the fellowship of believers, there's something important. Let's break it down for you. Number one, they said, they devoted themselves to the apostles and the teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of what Peter had to say? The teaching of what the apostles had to say? Who were the teachings that they did? The teachings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did they have the word written down? Was it all nice and neat, compiled in our little New King James, the Message Bible, the Passion Bible? No. They preached with their voices. They remembered from what the stories they had heard. And so we understand that they continued the teaching. You see, what I know about the Word of God, it is so alive. We know that we can read the same scripture every single day and we can get a different meaning from it. But they continued to preach the Word of God. Okay? It also says that they fellowshipped. Okay? They were devoted to communion. What does that tell me? They replayed the Last Supper, right? They took Holy Communion together. So they devoted themselves to the teaching. They sat under the apostles. They listened. They learned. And then they did Holy Communion together. These are some important things that we need to remember as the body of Christ. Because what? Fellowship counts. Fellowship counts. It is important that we are in the presence of like-minded individuals. I'll give you a quick story. Bless you. There was, I belong to a prayer line. And so from Tuesdays to Saturday morning, we get up on the phone and we begin to pray from about 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. And so there's a whole bunch of us that just pray on the line together. I know. It's been going on for like 4 years. It's just incredible. Yeah, it's amazing. And so I remember when I first got saved, I had a family member that I used to take the word of God. Because you know when you get saved, you want everyone to feel what you do, to feel the love of God. And so I used to take the word of God and I used to jam it down her throat. Eat this word, it's good for you. And she'd be so annoyed. Because in her mind, she believed that she did know the word of God. She believed that she did have a relationship. And so it was so annoying for her. Every single time I would tell her, you need Jesus. And she'd be like, what are you talking about? I know Jesus. I know God. I don't need you to be so self-righteous and coming to me and telling me what I needed. And so this has gone on for many, many years. And so what happened is the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, why don't you stop talking and why don't you start living? Why don't you start living the word of God as opposed to telling your relatives or your friends how much they need Jesus? Why don't you allow your life to be a living testimony, right? Why don't you do that? Why don't you fellowship with other people? Why don't you forget who you were in the past? Why don't you just live the life of God? Why don't you love on her instead of judging her? And so I told you we had this prayer line. And so it's so interesting because this individual knows, and so I tell her all the time. I'll just confess, it's my mom, okay? I'll just confess it. I just feel like, why are you trying to pretend who it is? It's my mother, okay? And so can you imagine, right? I'm speaking to my mother, telling her that she needs to have a relationship with the Lord. So you know right away we're off balance, right? Because how dare I tell you? I tell you, you don't tell me. Anyways, so she, after a while, the Holy Spirit says, begin to live. And so every time she lives in Jamaica, every time she would come here, I would love on her. I would just bless her. You want to go to church today? No? Okay, no problem. I'm going to the Catholic church. I said, go ahead, because the Spirit of God is everywhere. Go on, go, go. And I began to change, and I began to just live what God was saying. And so I would bless her. I would love on her. She would watch these things happening. I was a very angry young lady, and she would watch that anger just change over time. Well, about 2.5 years ago, she was here for Christmas, and Pastor Sue announced that we were going to have a fast, right? The New Year fast. Fine. She went home a few weeks later. She calls me on the phone, and she goes, Colleen, I would like you to join me for a fast. And I'm like, the Spirit of the Lord was like, simmer down. I'm like, a fast, Ma. What do you mean a fast? And so she began to tell me, I want to fast for this person, and I want to fast for that person. And I said, absolutely, I'll join you, no problem. Then she said these words that I'll never forget. And by the way, I need the number of that prayer line that you're on every morning. I said, what? She goes, yeah, I need that number. And so I said, praise the Lord. And so I gave her the number. And, you know, she's Catholic, very reserved in her face, in her faith. We'd be praying in tongues. We'd be, you know, K-A-B-R-O-M-A-K-A. And so I'd say, you know, how did you feel about that, Mom? What were your thoughts? And she'd say, oh, you know, I don't understand it all, but I liked it. And so for 2.5 years, it might even be 3 years, she has faithfully come to this prayer line. Mind you, she's so far away, but every single morning, here and there, sometimes she misses it, she comes to the prayer line. Why? Why? Because we are fellowshipping together. We are fellowshipping in the Word of God together. And it's been a miraculous, I can only call it a miracle. Sometimes we're looking for miracles in the big things, but my God, this woman has changed. She says things to me that I'm like, I know that it's the Spirit of God that she is responding to. Why? Because fellowship counts. Okay? So the apostles, as we know, they continue the teachings. They did devotion together. They had the Last Supper. Okay? They were praying. They were praying and fasting. And when they were praying, I have a note here. When they were praying, something would break loose in that place. Just like today where you just feel, sorry, I didn't know if you're getting my attention, you're just saying hallelujah. Something would break loose in the place when we were fasting and praying. Imagine that. I remember last Sunday, because we've been on this 21-day fast, the worship leader who was injured, so she wasn't even worshiping, but she did a special song. And so I remember I was in my seat, and so she limped up to the platform, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, where is she going? Sit down and relax. But my gosh, she began to sing a song. And the whole church responded to an altar call that had not been called. The Spirit of God sent everybody into the place. I'm telling you, it was so powerful. Why? Because we had all been in a place of prayer. We had all been in a place of fasting. So when the worship happened, the whole place responded. And even the bishop of the house said, I don't have to do another thing. I don't have to do another thing. I'm just going to open up and begin to say what God has laid on my heart. The people responded. Healing happened right there. Why? Because they were under one accord, praying together. Okay? We were praying together. The Word of God also says in that same scripture, so they continue the teachings, they devoted to communion, they prayed, okay? And number four says they were filled with awe. When is the last time we got around believers and we got filled with awe? Do you know that place where you're just like, God, you just took my breath away? Sometimes we're not there. Sometimes when we're worshiping or when we're amongst others, what are we thinking about? What I'm going to have for lunch. I'm thinking about what I got to do at work. I'm thinking about this one who made me mad on the way here. Very rarely are we filled with the awe and wonder of God. Sometimes we leave it up to the preacher or the bishop or whoever of the house. You fill me up. But what do we bring? Do we bring that wonder? Do we come into the house with an expectation that God is going to do something? Or do we come out of routine because this is what we're supposed to do on a Sunday? God wants us to be filled with his awe. And if we focus on him, if we think about Christ, we will see how awesome he is. He's so miraculous. He's so wonderful that sometimes we just take it for granted. Sometimes we don't realize we enter into the presence of God. And especially how much more when we're together. Remember what happened in that upper room. They were together and they were filled with awe when the Holy Spirit came rushing in. And what happened? They all got filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues. It was powerful. And so the Word of God is reminding me that I've got to come ready to be filled with awe. When's the last time you just said, ah, God, you are so wonderful. You were so glorious. You were so amazing. Have you ever been there? I was telling a story about when we used to have encounter weekends. And I know Pastor Joyce, she,
Well, there's a lot of saving that went on those weekends. I mean, it changed my life. But I remember encounter weekends, and we'd be all in the, you know, it's where you go away for 48 hours, and there's preachers. Has anyone ever been on one here, the encounter weekends? Oh, of course, I know. Of course you have. And we would be away for the weekend from Friday to Sunday, and there would be different speakers and different stuff happening. And I remember, like, on the Sunday time when it came time for the Holy Spirit or worship or what was ever happening, and I'm standing in the middle of this all, and I'm looking around, and I look to my neighbor who was crying, and then I cry, Jesus! And then I would turn around and look to my neighbor who was laughing, and then I'd be like, ha, ha, ha. Like, it was just a contagious thing that happened. Have you ever been in that presence where there's nothing else going on but the believers are worshiping God? And there's something that overtakes us. There's something that overtakes us. You see, God is contagious. And he should be contagious in your life. There should be people. I love the book of Acts because Peter was walking by and people under his shadow, they went, what? What? When's the last time someone stopped and said, What is it that is on you? What is it that you have? I want some of that. I want some of that presence. Oh, you want some of it? Well, I'll tell you where you can find it. We meet every Sunday at the Core Church. You see, people aren't coming. People don't want our Jesus because we're walking. God wants us to be filled with awe and wonderment with his presence. He wants that for us so bad. He gave us the Comforter. We have the Holy Spirit. It's more powerful than anything else. It's more powerful than anything else. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. And God has been reminding me that I've got to be filled with his awe. Because it said, after this, look at it. In verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the miracles. By the apostles. There were miracles. There were healing. There was poverty broken off. They were in that room. They had come together every single day. And they had spent time together. And miracles began to happen. It's not what I say, it's what the Word of God says. It's what the Word of God says. Listen, it's not enough to just come here on Sunday. It's not enough. It's not. This is like, you know, this is great. This is, you know, an appetizer. Do you know appetizers? You know when they serve you finger food? I go to these places and they're like, refreshments provided. And then I'm like, this is it? It's just saying, like, where's the real food? Where's the real food? God wants to give us the real food. He wants us to take us off milk and feed us in the presence of other people. So when we are all together, we all get to eat of that. It's so powerful. I always think, you know, when you're home by yourself and you worship, it's good. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm carried away and I think, thank God, I'm rolling on the floor and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus! But when I carry that into the house of the Lord, something happens. Have you ever had that where you're crying, you're laughing, you don't even know what to do? You want to run, you want to flip, you want to grab the flags, you want to grab the drums. You don't play the drums, but suddenly you just want to. Has that ever happened to you? Suddenly you got words coming out of you. You're like, I didn't even know I know that scripture, but Jesus, you're seeing visions. You're like, my gosh, in the presence of other people. And let me tell you something. The world knows this well. The world knows when we're two or more are gathered. Have you ever seen them hockey? Have you ever seen people at a hockey game? Huh? They lose their natural mind, right? I'm a basketball fan, so I've been to the Raptors game, and I've been standing there with all these thousands of people losing. They paint their signs, and they paint it on their head, and I'm just thinking, my gosh, look at these people, and they're lifting hands, and they're, woohoo, yeah, wah! The world knows it. Have you ever gone to a concert? You see these concerts on TV, huh? You see these concerts happening, and you see everyone worshiping the person there. So don't tell me it's not in you. Don't tell me I'm reserved. Don't tell me, no, that's just not for me. It's a lie. It's a lie.
There is something inside of us that makes us want to respond in worship. That's what we were created to do. And so even more when we're standing with believers, because as you catch fire, oh my goodness, that's the thing about fire, right? It ignites the whole place, right? But we wanna take hold of that and take it back. I'm so tired of seeing the world worship. And then I come to church on a Sunday and I'm like, what's happening here? We're just like, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. The game starts at the Bible tells me. Offering? Okay, so let me see. All right, so I have to do this and I have to do that and then minus this. Okay, here's your $5. I'm understanding. Okay, if it's $5, great. It's not about the amount. It's about the sacrifice. But sometimes we give God our leftovers. And what I'm understanding is what we want, we will pay for. What we want, we will find the money for. What we want, we will come to. I'm always laughing at, not laughing, it's not funny, but when they're offering something free, or let's take Boxing Day. Does it happen in Hamilton? Because on Boxing Day, people lose their minds. I don't understand. Why are you lining up at 1 a.m.? This Boxing Day was like minus whomever, okay? They're lining up in front of Leon's and the Brick. I'm waiting for a TV. I'm like, wow. And then you know what they do to you? The sale continues till the end of the month. And I'm like, well, what was the purpose of us lining up for? What we want, we will wait for. What we want, we will stand still for. What we desire, we will wait for. But when it comes for Christ, we're like, okay, I give you 10 minutes. Ready, go. The alarm clock goes and goes, I'm done. Pastor Joy, I prayed, and he ain't answering me. Right? But yet if it was for something that we wanted, if it was something, if they were giving away free cars, what's a good car? I have my eye on the Porsche or the Range Rover. If they were giving one out at the core church, my God, y'all would be here. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. Right? We'd all be lining up. But the reality is he has something better than a Range Rover. He has something better than millions of dollars in the bank. He has the presence of God. He has his Holy Spirit just waiting to bless us. So we understand that there are wonders and miracles that were happening in the books of Acts. And it wasn't no gimmicks. You know, have you seen them? Listen, I'm not trying to talk about anyone, but sometimes I'm like, what's happening here? They're on TV or I see them online and they say, I'm selling a prayer cloth from dipped in the waters of the Jordan. Is that, if you bought one, praise the Lord, your faith is stronger than mine, okay? But they're selling these things, you know, trying to give you gimmicks and imitation of God, when the reality is you don't have to go to the Jordan. You want to dip yourself in the water, turn on the tub and get in there and baptize yourself. Come on, God has given it to us. I'm not saying there's not an importance in some things that God has out there, but I'm saying we got to stop following gimmicks. We got to stop looking for that. We got to stay still and know that he's God. If you are out chasing more preachers than you are chasing Pastor Joy and Pastor Ace, then Houston, we got a problem. We got a problem. We have a problem. Amen? Don't get mad. It's what the word says. Okay, don't look at me. I'm just trying to read. Okay, the next thing I have here is together they had everything in common. This is probably my favorite part. They had everything in common. Can you imagine? We are all from various places. Amen? How many of you are born in Canada? Wow. Okay, how many of you are born obviously outside of Canada? Yes, good. So where are you from? England, where are you from? All right. Is there another country in the house? Amen. I'm sorry? Chile. Oh, what? Chile. What else? Anything else? I'm from Jamaica. Anyone else? Okay. All right. It's all good. So the reality is, how can people from all over the world, speaking in different languages, different customs, different tradition, people with different economic classes, people with different education, how is it that they can have everything in common? It's the Spirit of God. You see, God is a great equalizer. I love him for that. I love him. When I get around other people, I don't know you're from England. What I do know is we're all worshiping together. I don't know that you're from Chile. I don't know what language you speak. I don't know what education degree you have. But I do know something. Amen? You see, when God invites us to the table, and we all sit at the table, this becomes an equalizer. Amen? Are we not all equal here at the table? Huh? Even the crippled man that comes forward, is he not equal? Is it not the poor man that comes to this table? Is he not at equal level with me? Is it not the criminally insane that come to this table? Is it not the murderer that comes to... Are we not all in the same place here? Huh? Is God not asking us to pull up a table? Is he not asking us to join together? When we're here together, the things that separate us are the very things that bring us together. God is saying, let me have me in common. Stop looking for what we don't have in common and start looking for the commonality. And that is Jesus Christ. The most powerful thing, I think, is when worshipers are on a Sunday morning, or if you worship on Saturday, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But when you think about all the churches in Southern Ontario or whatever the time zone, in East, what are we, Eastern time zone? Right? Can you think about all of us right now worshiping and lifting up a praise to the Lord? That is powerful. That is powerful. That even in Chile, is it the same time in Chile? What time is it in Chile? Okay, but the point is that it was once 11 o'clock in Chile, right? Right? In England, right? Doesn't matter the time zone. Doesn't matter how far you are. It matters that we can all have Jesus in common. This is what we can tell people. Oh, but I'm not ready. You don't have to be ready. Oh, but I don't have, you don't have to have enough. Because God, we sang it, he's more than enough. Just come to the table. Come to the table. He's got a banquet prepared for you. And it's not scraps, eh? We serve the King of Kings. He's not giving us leftovers. We can take part in the full course meal there. There is an abundance. There's an overflow of the presence of God. It's like a potluck or a pot blessing. I know y'all, you have them here, right? Oh, yeah. Where everyone brings something to the table. And don't you have an overflow? Then what do you want to do? You want to invite other people? Come. There's so much here for you. Oh, you can't afford to bring this week? That's okay. We got you covered. Come. God has a banquet table that is overflowing, that never runs dry. How many of you know I'm single? You guys know my story. Yes, 2018. Praise the Lord. Anyways, it's not about me. Okay. I even lost my train of thought. Oh, God. I'm trying to be encouraged, Lord. Okay, so how many of you know? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, okay. So it doesn't matter whether you're one person or two people. Nobody knows at the banquet table. Nobody knows. I love it. I love it when I get around people of the church and we have those pot blessings. I love it. I get to taste different food. I got to taste different things and different cultures. This is what God wants. He wants us to be together and have everything in common. No race or economics, education, no political. Nobody knows who's a conservative in the room. And God, I hope none of us know who's a liberal in the room. Just joking. Just joking. Just joking. Right? When we come to the table, we have one thing in common. We have one thing in common, and that's the Lord. If I don't know what to talk about, I can talk about, hasn't God been good to you? And she's going to say, yes. She's going to begin to share her testimony, and it's going to encourage me. What? Jesus did that for you? Listen, if we're still stuck on a testimony that Jesus did 10 years ago, then we need to open our eyes. Because every day he has a testimony for us. Every single day. He has something for us. It's for us to actually see it and receive it. Amen? So they were together with the great I am that I am. The next thing that we see in that same portion of scripture is that they were selling possessions and giving to the needy. out of the abundance of the heart. You know when your cup is filled up and it has no alternative but to overflow. I'm telling you, I grew up in a single parent home with a sister and a mother who was a new immigrant from Jamaica, who was barely educated, who did everything. I remember I was telling someone a story. You know, I'm always laughing at parents now when they're who's going to be home with the children? And I remember that there was a time, I won't tell you, 19, whatever, it's none of your business, when I was younger, and it was my sister who's 3 years my senior, and we'd come home from school, and my mom would be at work, leaving from work to go to another work. How many of you guys know about that? You leave from your full-time job to go to your part-time job, okay? And so we would come home from school. No babysitter. So you know what we'd have to do? We'd have to call my mom at work, put the phone off the hook. She'd be on one hand, and we would leave the phone off the hook for the whole time. Then when she left that job, and she got to her other job, she would call us, and we'd leave the... That was our babysitter. Do you understand what I'm saying? So all she had was us in the background. She knew when we'd fight. She'd be like, girls... She knew when we were, are you guys eating? What do you eat? And I'm like, yeah, this is what my mom did. So I didn't have it all together. I wasn't handed anything. What was handed to me was the Spirit of God. Because I'll tell you something, okay? And this is a brag on God, but not myself. Because of my ability, or because of the principle of sowing, the principle of tithing, I love tithing. When they call for the tithe, I'm like, take it! Take it! And I'm going to tell you something. That principle has saved my life. Because there was a time when I didn't have a job. When people looked at me and said, she ain't going to be nothing. Okay? But I'm telling you now, when I leave work, those of you who don't know, I work in mental health and addictions. I work out of the Trillium Health Partners. I am not a regulated professional. I am not a doctor. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a nurse. I shouldn't even have that job. And my boss readily admits it. I don't know what it was about you, Colleen. And I'm like, I do. Till the point when I get paid, I jump in my car. I'm like, start the car! Start the car! They're still paying me. Because I'm in awe of what God has done. I say that to talk about the selling of possessions. Because I'm telling you, I give of my time when I don't have, sometimes I don't have, and I give of my time, I give of my talents, I give. I'll take off an earring or two if I have to, I'll take off a shoe, whatever it is that I have, I'll give. There's something to be said about that. Because God will transform you. Because where I'm at today, I shouldn't be there, but for God. But for the selling and the giving of my possessions. Does it mean that one day I'm going to put my house on the market and say, take it all, church? I don't know, God, right? But I do know the bringing of your tithes and offering is important. The honesty of doing that, there's something to be said. To help who? Is it helping Pastor Joy? I love it. She always does our offering at WOW. And she goes, I'm not trying to take anything from you. I'm trying to get something to you. So if you're struggling in poverty, if you're struggling not knowing how to make ends meet, do what they did. Do what they did here. Start giving. It's not going to happen overnight. But there's something about staying and waiting. We're so impatient as Christians. I love when Walker, who I think I know personally because Rebecca, if you ever follow her, like, she gives me the best Walker stories. Like, the things he says, I'm like, it's so powerful, right? Out of the mouth, right? And so when he came up here saying, you know, I don't know what was happening, but he's asking for that healing to happen. He's saying that this is what I need. And sometimes the very thing that we need means I've got to bring an offering. Maybe I've got to invite someone for coffee. Maybe I've got to invite someone over and feed them a meal. Maybe this is what I have to do. I don't think you can be wrong in that. We can never outgive God. So in the Word of God, we understand that they brought their possessions to the needy. Okay? They met, number 8 I have here, they met in the temple courts. So I urge you guys, don't miss church. Don't miss the importance of the fellowship of believers. The Word of God says that. So for all of us who maybe we're sick and we have to watch Sunday from the television, fine. But if you can, get into the house. Get into the core. Get into the core. Come along, your believers. Because I'm telling you, there's something contagious that happens. There's something contagious that happens. I don't know what male was sitting behind me, but he started to sing. And I'm just like, oh God! There's something that happens when we are gathered together. Watching it on TV is not enough. After they had finished at church, guess what they did? It says they broke bread in their homes. My goodness. So who did they live with? Who did they hang out with? It was the believers. For some of us, the challenge is we're diluted. We're diluted. Because maybe our best friends aren't those who follow Jesus. I'm not saying they don't need Christ. But what happens is we get diluted. Because we're not soaking ourselves in the presence of like believers. It happened to me. I tell this all the time. You know Caravana? Do you guys know it? No? You do, some of you are like, yeah, I know. I've seen some of you there. Praise the Lord. So Caravana is this place. It's not my cup of tea. Back in the day it was. Okay? But now it's not. Because I recognize that where salt, I should be the salt. When I get in the presence of those people, millions of people, shaking and bending and gyrating and doing all kinds of stuff, all of a sudden, the good girl who's wanting to scream for Jesus, okay, I'm like, Jesus loves you. And all of a sudden I hear, dun, 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 dun. It's like some really like Caribbean music, and I'm all of a sudden my hips are going, and I'm like, Jesus loves me, dun, 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 dun. Right? And I'm like, Jesus loves you. And all of a sudden, I'm caught up in the crowd. And I'm like, whoa, cent, 5 cent, 10 cent, dollar. And I'm gyrating, going crazy. And I'm like, but Jesus loves me. You see, this is what can happen. Sometimes the enemy, he just calls you out. Come. Come save the people at Caravana, Colleen. Don't they need Jesus? Why would you be so judgmental? Won't you go on the parade and hang up your Jesus banner? Doesn't work, people, because I get caught up. I get caught up. I used to be a very heavy marijuana smoker. I don't know if I'm repeating myself, if some of you have heard this testimony. I used to smoke so much marijuana that when I quit, my dealer came to my door. You're going to put me out of business. So take this for free, because I need you to start smoking again, because I need to make money. And so I was so high all the time. High and then angry. Because when I wasn't high, I was angry because I needed to be high. And so what happened after I got saved, I couldn't go around marijuana. Because I'd be like, what is that? What is that smell? There was still a pull there. So it took me a long time to step away from that place. Now I can handle it. Now, my mother thinks it's hilarious that I'm an addiction specialist. She's like, how could you, who smoke so much dope, how could you be telling people the dangers of marijuana? Don't get me started. When we legalize that, whoa, my God. And this is something that the church, Pastor Joy, the church needs a response to this. We need a response to what we do when marijuana becomes legal. So start praying, people, because your young people are going to look at you and say, but it's legal, but it causes psychosis, but it's legal, but it causes you to have schizophrenia, but it's legal, but it causes you to be anger, but it's legal. We got to have a response. So they began to praise God. And here's another one that I love in verse, I can't remember, but it's in there. They enjoyed the favor of the people. I am a product of the favor of my pastor. You guys know Pastor Sue? I just stand next to her and I just hope for the favor to just, when it's overflowing, it just touch me. Twinkle, tickle, 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 tickle. You guys are a product of the favor of your pastor. Whatever's on them will get on you. But you got to remain close. You got to remain close. You got to begin to fellowship. You got to get to the core so that when it happens, You are there to receive the overflow. There is something that's on their life. Don't look at them in the natural. Begin to see it in the spiritual. Begin to see it, because how does it work? Only Pastor Joy and Pastor Ace will tell you. But when you stand next to that, you begin to receive the favor that is on their life. When we stand next to people, you know, if there's rich men in church that come and they're praising the Lord, and if they're single, I especially line up to them. Just joking. But when they come, those business people, you know, business people are in the church who know how to invest and know how to Bitcom or whatever, some of that will fall on us. Why? Because we're like-minded. I bring joy. I watch people tell jokes. I'm like, you're seriously getting funny here. Like, honestly. Like you're really getting funny now. Why? Because this is my nature. I will always give the joke. And I feel as people get around me, humor starts to come out of them. So I don't know what it is that you have. But as we get together, as we are standing together, the favor will overflow. There's this tree in California, the redwood tree. Have you guys heard of it? The redwood trees? These trees are pretty spectacular. It says they are some of the biggest trees in the world. Their root system is what's unique, okay? They say they're able to withstand strong winds, earthquakes, fires, storms, prolonged flooding. They say they're some of the oldest trees in the world, something like 2,000 years old. But here's what makes them spectacular. When you look at them, they look beautiful. But what is amazing, how they're able to withstand, is underneath the root, they are all intertwined together. The roots of those trees, if you were to dig them up, they are all holding each other up. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when the floods and the winds and this happens, they're grabbing onto who? To each other. That's the power of unity. That's the power of community. That's the power of fellowshipping together. Have you ever stood in a circle with people holding each other up like this? If one person falls, what happens? We all fall, or we all stand. In a circle together, we have the ability to hold each other up. So when there's prayer that has to happen, as I was hearing today, we can hold you up. If something's going on, don't worry. We're your weak. I got you today, because tomorrow I may be the one that needs you. There's something powerful about the unity of believers. But the enemy is trying to tell us, we don't need it. After all, don't you have Christ? Doesn't he live inside of you? Stay home and worship. But I'll tell you, working in mental health and addiction, there is something wrong about isolation. From the very book of Genesis, the Lord said, it is not for two. Be alone. Because alone with yourself is dangerous. You know, I think about the animal kingdom. When a hunter, the animals like the lions or whatever, when they're looking to get their prey, what do? They look for the little one that's straggling behind. They look for the one that is isolated, that nobody's watching, and it jumps on that prey. There's something to be said about isolation. The enemy's like, yes, Pastor Joy. I keep using you because I know you, Pastor Joy. Pastor Joy, she offended you, eh? She offended you. You don't go back there. Get isolated. No. I know that's not how you talk. That's just how I You guys are like, we don't talk that way. Right? The enemy is telling you, no, you don't need to, what do you need to go back to church for? What do you need that for? You're not talking to your husband? Slam the door and tell him who's boss. Come on. He wants to get you alone because he whispers things to us. We think that it's about empowerment, but what it does is it breaks us, and we ain't got nobody there to check the reference with. There is a danger of isolation. there is a danger. Depression sets in. Does it not? If I'm alone too long, I will become depressed. Because you see, the reality is we're communal beings. We are meant to fellowship with one another. Even a plant, do you ever, unless you're in the desert, but do you ever see a plant by itself, just randomly? It's even gathered around other people. When birds are together, is it just usually one bird, unless it's an eagle? It's usually around people. Animals, every other living species, even disease, multiplies within. So we've got to remember the importance of not being isolated. I think about the redwood tree. I think about that. And finally, it says, he added to their numbers daily. Some of these things that we've talked about is how the Lord would add to the numbers at CORE. When we begin to come here teaching, and when we teach, we don't need to go and take the Bible and jam it down people's throat. We can live it. We've got the answer. It's within our CORE. We can come and we can say, come, come to communion, come and receive the body and the blood of Christ. We can tell them, we pray. What's your need? We pray. At my workplace, if they need a prayer, who are they going to? Me. Me. And I'm not walking around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Somehow they've known that. When you look at my cubicle, it's got affirmations all over the place. Plants, life, because I work in mental health. I'm trying to keep myself happy. And so when they need a prayer, who do you think they come to? Sneaking in the, Colleen. Yeah, so this is what's happening. Do you mind praying for me? People know. People know, okay? We need to be filled with awe. We need to see the wonders and the miracles. We need to testify. We need to have things in common. We need to bring our tithes and open offering. We've got to meet together. We've got to break bread, not only in church, but in our homes. We've got to look at the favor of others so that God will add to our numbers daily. It's not about building up the CORE. At the end of the day, it's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. So if you've got loved ones that need, if you've got people that you want to get into the presence of God, you've got to live by some principles. We've got to have unselfish love. We've got to be willing to be contagious. In Corinthians, just to quickly wrap up, in Corinthians, we understand that Brother Paul, I love him. I love Paul. Number one, because when I get to church, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, where's Paul? Because I just think he's so amazing, right? Because how many of us have, I think about him and I think about how I was when I first got saved. I was so zealous, like I was just like, you need Jesus, you're going to burn in hell. Yes, you are. You don't want him? Okay, bye. And I was just thinking I was doing things for God. And that's the same thing that the Apostle Paul did, right? He thought he was killing for God. Is that not true? But then he had an encounter with the Lord that forever altered his life, okay? He had this encounter. And so in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he's reminding the church that it doesn't matter if some are for Paul, if some are for Silas, if some are for Cephas. I don't know how to say his name. Yep. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, one says, I follow Paul. Another say, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. Still another say, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize you in any other name. No one can say that you were baptized in my name. For Christ did not send me to baptize you to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. So what is he saying? If we're not careful, if we continue to be divided, if we refuse to fellowship in the name of Christ, then the power of the cross loses its effect. I'm done trying to figure out what your denomination is and when you worship. I could care less. As long as you guys are worshiping Jesus, I could care less if you do it on a Saturday, do it on a Wednesday. I don't care. But as long as you're preaching and worshiping Christ, we as a church were too divided. And even the word, when I started this morning and I talked about fellowship, that is a Greek word.
Oh, Lord, where is it? It's a Greek word, actually, and it, when I was looking it up, it actually translates to the word that is used for the word corporation. Huh? It needs... Okay, partnership. Thank you. It's your accent. I didn't understand. You have to speak in tongues for me to understand. It means partnership. It means communion. It means corporation. It means, so yes, these are all the words. Oh, I'm looking for what I wrote in my notes. These are all the words that are used for the word fellowship. So we understand that it is important that we do not divide. If we think about Apple, corporation, when you see an apple, what do you think of? An iPhone. When you see the Coca-Cola, you're not thinking of, oh, when you see Coca-Cola, you think of all the different types of drinks or whatever. You see this one brand, and out of that one brand comes many things. It's the same thing that we need in the church. Out of the one brand of Jesus Christ comes many things. And that's okay, people. We've got to stop being divided over those little things. It's okay for you to go to Baptist church. It's okay for you to go to the Pentecostal. It's okay. It's okay. As long as you're preaching the word of God and the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, please, I'm not saying that we have to have that spirit of discernment and make sure they're preaching Jesus. But we've got to stop on Facebook. I'm so tired of people arguing over what church. Just fellowship together. Fellowship together. As I said, there is room at the table. Lack of unity are signs of spiritual immaturity. Evangelism for the apostles became a lifestyle. People desired what they had, and so they drawed near to them because Christ became contagious for others. We need to point people to the way, the truth, and the light. We've got to let them know that there is an importance of fellowshipping together. I draw our attention to the prodigal son, right? He decided he was going to take his stuff and head to the world and do what he wanted to do. And he stepped out of the house. He stepped out of the fellowship of family. And what happened to him? He was rolling around with pigs. Some of us roll around with pigs because we step out. Or worse yet, we got 2 feet, one in the world and one in the church. God doesn't want that from us. He wants us to be wholly and completely sold out for him. And I remember when I got saved, people used to say, because, you know, I'm a little excited, they'd say, yeah, just wait till you've been saved for 20 years. You're going to run out of all that energy. You're going to run out. I said, no. As a matter of fact, there's more passion and excitement. I may worship a little different, but sometimes I feel like I'm just going to explode with all that's going on in the core of my being, in the core of who I am. The worship and the praise arise. And when I get around other believers, I just get excited. Have you ever seen it? You just want to love on people and hug them because we're so in tune. We're so in the presence of God. The prodigal son left, but he came back. They left, but he came back. We've got to demonstrate our love. The Bible says, how can we claim to love God when we can't, the God that we can't see, when we can't love the brothers and sisters that we can see? So this morning, my message to you is, we've got to be still and know that he's God. We've got to continue to come. We can't give up. It's too risky. We've got to remain here and occupy until he comes. There is a wind of the Holy Spirit that is amongst the fellowship of believers, and I'm excited. I'm excited for that. I'm excited. I want the gifts of God to be stirred up in me. And it's so stirred up when I get amongst other believers, when I get amongst the pastors, when I just, I can rub shoulders and just talk about the goodness of God. If you're talking with your friends about other things and not about God, I challenge you. I'm not saying you have to, you know, be a monk or anything like that, but I'm saying what's out of your lips should bring praises to God. We should be in awe of everything he's done for us. And if we're not, then we got to get back to the basics. We've got to return to our first love, because some of us have lost it. Some of us have lost it. Amen?
Amen. I'm going to stop there, but I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray. Ah, we serve such a good and mighty God. God, you are so awesome, God. I remember that song, God of Wonders, beyond our galaxy. My God, you are holy, O Lord Father God. You are holy. And so, God, right now, as a church body, God, we repent. We repent for becoming complacent with your glory, becoming so familiar, God, that we just think of it as anything. But God, it is holy. God, take us back to the days where we take off our shoes because we recognize that where we stand is on holy ground. My God, may your presence just fill us from the inside out, O Lord Father God, that we can call out to you, O Lord Father God, and recognize that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. My God, we call you Yahweh. Hallelujah. We call you the great Jehovah Rapha. Ah, God, we search for your Shekinah glory. God, we search for your Shekinah glory. God, we desire a tangible encounter with you. We want to see you face to face. And so, Lord, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the core believers that remain still, God, that continue to come after you, O Lord, Father God. Let nothing that we do ever separate us from your love, O Lord, Father God. Ah, let the worshipers arise, God. Let us arise and surrender all to you, O Lord, Father God. So I thank you. I thank you for this house, God. I thank you for this place that is positioned for such a time as this. God, I thank you that it would be a beacon light to the city of Hamilton and beyond, God. Ah, for your glory, your presence rest in this place. And at the end of the day, God, when we fellowship together, God, ah, Lord, we would recognize that it is good for brethren and sisters to dwell together. My God, ah, the flowers may fade, the grass may wilter, but it's your word that stands the test of time. God, we don't have it, God. Silver and gold we don't have, but like the young man that brought the loaves and fishes, God, we bring what we have to you so that you would multiply it for your kingdom. So we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We welcome you into this new season, this new chapter, this new beginning of 2018. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's children said, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.